Hello and welcome to episode 842 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. It is my pleasure to be with you this morning. My name is Terrence M. Stanton. We are recording on Palm Sunday, March 24th, 2024, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin with St. Alphonsus Liguori's Sunday prayer to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary to obtain the forgiveness of our sins. Behold, O Mother of God, at thy feet a miserable sinner, a slave of hell, who has recourse to thee and trusts in thee. I do not deserve that thou shouldest even look at me, but I know that thou, having seen thy Son die for the salvation of sinners, hast the greatest desire to help them. I here all call thee the refuge of sinners, the hope of those who are in despair, and the help of the abandoned. Thou art then my refuge, my hope, and my help. Thou hast to save me by thy intercession. Help me for the love of Jesus Christ. Extend thy hand to a miserable creature who has fallen and recommends himself to thee. I know that thy pleasure is to help a sinner to thy utmost. Help me, therefore, now that thou canst do so. By my sins I have lost divine grace, and with it my soul. I now place myself in thy hands. Tell me what I must do to recover the favor of my Lord, and I will immediately do it. He sends me to thee that thou mayest help me, and he wills that I should have recourse to thy mercy, that not only the merits of thy Son, but also that thy intercession may help me to save my soul. To thee, then, I have recourse. Do thou, who prayest for so many others, pray also to Jesus for me. Ask him to pardon me, and he will forgive me. Tell him that thou desirest my salvation, and he will save me. Show how thou canst enrich those who trust in thee. Amen. Thus I hope, thus may it be. Prayer for the conversion of the Jews. Most sweet Jesus, Redeemer of the human race, turn thine eyes of mercy toward the children of that race, once thy chosen people. Of old did they call down upon themselves the blood of the Savior. May it now descend upon them a laver of redemption and of life. Amen. We return once more, friends, to Meditations for Lent, published by Sheed and Ward in 1937, authored by the angelic doctor, St. Thomas Aquinas. Available free of charge at fisheaters.com. That's fisheaters.com, an excellent traditional Catholic website, or an apostolic Catholic website, as Father David Nix is fond of saying. Holy Week, Palm Sunday. St. Thomas titles this, Christ's Passion Serves as an Example. The Passion of Christ is by itself sufficient to form us in every virtue. Whoever wishes to live perfectly need do no more than scorn what Christ scorned on the cross and desire what he there desired. There is no virtue of which, from the cross, Christ does not give us an example. If you seek an example of charity, greater love than this no man hath, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13, and this Christ did on the cross. And since it was for us that he gave his life, it should not be burdensome to bear for him whatever evils come our way. What shall I render to the Lord for all the things that he hath rendered to me? That comes from the Psalms 95, verse 12. So, friends, when we think about the love Christ has for us, he is love itself, and he poured out everything he had for us on the cross. Doesn't that cry out, doesn't that scream out for us to love him in return? When the second person of the Most Holy Trinity gave everything for us, we can't even comprehend the love that God has for us, and what he did for us on the cross, and what he continues to do for us, how he continues to intercede for us before our Heavenly Father, Jesus interceding for us. And also what the Blessed Mother does for us, acting as a mediator between Jesus and us. She one day will probably be defined solemnly by the Church as the mediatrix of all graces. Let us continue to love Our Lady. Let us continue to love our Lord. And the more we love the Blessed Mother, the more we're going to love Our Lord Jesus Christ. St. Thomas says, if you seek an example of patience, in the cross you find the best of all. Great patience shows itself in two ways. either when a man suffers great evils patiently, or when he suffers what he could avoid and forbears to avoid. Now Christ on the cross suffered great evils. O all ye that pass by the way, attend and see if there be any sorrow like to my sorrow, Lamentations 1:12. And he suffered them patiently, for when he suffered, he threatened not, 1 Peter 2:23. But led as a sheep to the slaughter, he was dumb as a lamb before his shearer, Isaiah 53:7. Patience is difficult in these days, isn't it, friends? We want everything fast, fast, fast in our society. Remember when I was growing up and microwaves became the new thing? You just don't have to use the oven anymore. Just put something in the microwave for a few minutes and there you go. The TV dinners and fast food and now. I need it yesterday. We are a very impatient society. Jesus shows us patience in bearing our sins and being patient for us. I can say this first and foremost of myself, how patient the Lord has been with me. I'm reminded of this every time I've gone to confession during the course of my life. Think of how patient the Lord is with us. So let us be patient with others and let us endure the trials and the strifes of this life, building up the virtue of patience and offering up the sufferings we have in this life in reparation for our sins against the Sacred Heart, the Immaculate Heart, and the Most Chaste Heart, and also for the relief of the holy souls in purgatory. St. Thomas says also, it was in his power to avoid the suffering, and he did not avoid it. Thinkest thou that I cannot ask my Father, and he will give me presently more than 12 legions of angels? Matthew 26:53. The patience of Christ, then, on the cross, was the greatest patience ever shown. Let us run by patience to the fight proposed to us. Look on Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who, having joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Hebrews 12:1-2. So, friends, thinking also about patience and what he could have done, when he talks about bringing down the 12 legions of angels, Jesus didn't have to endure anything for us. He doesn't have to do anything. He's God. He's perfect in and of himself. He doesn't need us. We need him completely and utterly. And I think of myself, I run away from suffering. Are you like that too? We can't be that way. We have to endure. We have to endure for love of Jesus Christ and for love of our fellow man. And every suffering that we endure, all the difficulties that we go through in this life is nothing compared to the glory of heaven. And we can help build up merit for ourselves. We only get into heaven by the grace of God. But we have to do something. Even doing that is his grace. Everything is God's grace alone. But we have to respond to the love that he has for us. And how do we do that? Jesus says, if you love me, keep the commandments. We'll do good. We'll avoid evil. If we truly love him, we'll live a virtuous life. It's one thing to say that we love the Lord. It's another thing to actually do virtuous things to prove that we love him. If we're getting caught up in gravely sinful behavior, doing things that we know are wrong and doing them anyway, that's not loving the Lord. That's not loving the Lord at all. So we have to be able to walk the walk and talk the talk. St. Thomas says, if you seek an example of humility, look at the crucified. For it is God who wills to be judged and to die at the will of Pontius Pilate. Thy cause hath been judged as that of the wicked. Job 36:17. Truly is that of the wicked, for let us condemn him to a most shameful death. Wisdom 2:20. The Lord willed to die for the slave, the life of the angels for man. Think about that, friends. Jesus is humility itself. And he allowed himself to be judged and die at the hands of a man, Pontius Pilate, one of his creatures. Again, it's simply incomprehensible what Jesus went through for us, but it's important to meditate on it and thank him for it and think about his cross and what he did for us, the humiliation, the torture he endured, the next time you're tempted to sin gravely. Or also, the next time you're tempted to complain about what you have to go through in life. It's absolutely nothing in comparison to what Jesus endured for us. If you seek an example of obedience, follow him who became obedient unto death, Philippians 2:8. For as by the disobedience of one man many were made sinners, so also by the obedience of one many shall be made just, Romans 5:19. There's a lot of disobedience in the world nowadays. Disobedience in the church. I'm not talking about this false obedience where people say, oh, we have to do whatever the Pope tells us to do because that's an act of obedience, or, you know, some corrupt politician tells you you have to wear a mask, so you have to do that out of obedience. No, I'm not going to do things to harm our health by wearing masks or taking experimental gene therapies. I'm not going to do things in the church that are harmful for our souls, like calling good evil and calling evil good, and saying that people who are living in adulterous relationships are actually married to each other, or that they can receive Holy Communion. No, the truth doesn't change because there's a new pope. Our society and our church is awash in modernism. Pope St. Pius X called this the synthesis of all heresies. The great Cardinal Ottaviani's episcopal motto was Semper Idem, always the same. The faith needs to be handed down from generation to generation, and tradition needs to be preserved. Because it hasn't been preserved, and because we've been disobedient to tradition, is why we have all the problems that we do in the church and the world today. St. Thomas says, if you seek an example in the scorning of the things of this world, follow him who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom. Lo, on the cross he hangs naked, fooled, spit upon, beaten, crowned with thorns, sated with gall and vinegar, and dead. My garments they parted among them, and upon my vesture they cast lots. Psalm 21:19. Error to crave for honors, for he was exposed to blows and to mockery. Error to seek titles and decorations, for plaiting a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and bowing the knee before him, they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews, Matthew 27:29. Error to cling to pleasures and comfort, for they gave me gall for my food, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. That comes from the Psalms as well. It's Psalm 68, verse 22. And what St. Thomas is driving at to conclude there is there's nothing in this world that is worth giving up your soul for. When we drive after wealth, pleasure, power, fame, it's so fleeting in terms of eternity. It's not even a drop in the ocean. Cardinal Seurat wrote a book entitled God or Nothing, and it seems like that's the situation we're in today in the world. And we're being offered a choice. Is it God, our relationship with him, building up a virtuous life with him, or is it absolutely nothing? Is it oblivion? when we see the madness, the chaos that our planet has descended into to try to live a life, to try to live an existence as if God didn't exist, has it made people more free? Has it made people happier? No. So many people are racked with anxiety and depression. The suicide rate in America is through the roof. It's higher than it's ever been. That's a society built on atheism, or at least agnosticism. Yeah, God might exist, he might not. He doesn't care what I'm doing. No, he cares intimately about everything that you think, say, and do. So let's live our lives for him and think about how much he suffered for us, how much he loves us. It's beyond all comprehension. Anything other than God, living your life for any other reason, is ultimately going to make you miserable. Living your life for him will fill you with peace and joy. And if we make it to heaven, you will be filled with peace and joy beyond all comprehension. Today's the feast day of St. Gabriel, the Archangel. St. Gabriel, pray for us. Let us conclude by once again mentioning Helping Autism Through Learning and Outreach, available on the web at halo-soma.org. That's halo-soma.org. Please tune into episodes 277 and 548 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast, which have to do with RPM. That's an acronym for Rapid Prompting Method, a system of communication for non-speakers. Before my niece was about 8 years old, we didn't even know her favorite color. Now, thanks to God's grace, her hard work, the hard work of her family, breaking through to open communication via RPM, we know she's a comprehensive genius. She composes music, poetry, very skilled in regards to mathematics. She even knows foreign languages. This has been as big of a breakthrough, speaking of RPM, in terms of being able to communicate, as sign language was for the deaf. You can also point to Braille for the blind in terms of their being able to read. But you can't use a tool unless you know about it. That's where you come in. We would greatly appreciate you getting this information out to as many people as possible, because communication is a human right. And you can imagine, or maybe you can't, but try to put yourself in the shoes of someone who's unable to communicate. And you're locked in a prison of silence. And you can't even tell your family what your favorite color is, what you want for breakfast. Just the simple, ordinary things that we take for granted, the normal, mundane, seemingly to us, conversations that we engage in every day, at all hours of the day, these aren't possible for someone who's unable to communicate. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. Please say an Ave Maria for yours truly, and I will talk to you again very soon. Goodbye, and God love you.